All right. Well, we're 5 minutes after our official start time, so let's get started. And if everyone would join me in an opening prayer, I would appreciate it. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for bringing us all together as owners and friends of Deer Springs Ranch. We pray, Lord, that you would guide our hearts and guide our minds today as we discuss issues and make recommendations for keeping Deer Springs Ranch the wonderful place that it is and improving it for the future. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our first Zoom meeting of the fall. I looked at the ranch webcams earlier this morning, and it looks like a beautiful day at the ranch. But I was also told that the roads are a mess, that they're very muddy, so it sounds like we made a good decision to do the Zoom call as opposed to trying to get everybody out there on the muddy roads. Kurt, can you confirm that? Oh, you're muted.
I can confirm that. I'm
unmuted now. The roads are very muddy. Yeah, the roads are very muddy. Scootapaw is a bit of a mess, not as bad as I've seen it, but it's a mess. And I wouldn't even try and slide Canyon right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't even try to get to my
lot. Up, Kathy.
So, all right, well, I want to start out with a couple of instructions. Just to let everybody know, we are recording the meeting for the on the Zoom call, and then one of the things that we've decided to do as a board is to start using a transcription service. So basically, we're going to take the recording of the Zoom meeting and send that to a transcription service so that they can write out, basically transcribe the information from the meeting into written minutes for the meeting. Kathy has agreed to continue on as our secretary, so thank you, Kathy, for that.
Welcome.
And having the transcription of the recording of the Zoom meeting is going to make that job much easier. Probably 90% of the work of the secretary's job is literally just trying to make sure you're writing furiously and making all the notes and getting everything established on paper. So by having the transcription service do that for us, that's going to make it much easier. And in terms of the meeting today, a couple of suggestions. Number one is, while you're on the meeting, unless you're actually talking, we would appreciate it if everybody would keep yourselves muted, and that will keep any random, you know, conversations or noise out of the recording. And if you do want to make a comment or ask a question, something like that, it would be best to do that in the chat section on the Zoom meeting. And Jennifer, I'm not an expert on that, so can you just take a minute and explain to everybody what that actually means in terms of using the chat section for the Zoom meeting?
Sure. You'll see along the bottom of your screen, there are several different functional buttons. It's called chat. It's got the little message bubble. And if you click on chat, you'll see a window open. The key to this is, at the very bottom, you'll see it says two, and there's everyone. There's the drop-down. So you can have a chat with an individual, or you can have a chat to everyone. If it says everyone, everyone on the call will see it. Below that, you'll see type message here. You can type your message. If you're on mute, that's great. If you're not on mute, please know that keyboard clicks make more noise than you think. So if you're going to be typing, keep yourself on mute. But that's basically how you do it. Once you've got a message, you just click the little arrow, and it will post. And then, Mike, if you want to just manage the chats by opening your side window, you can see them and you can recognize comments or questions as they come up and are time and topic appropriate.
All right. Well, Jennifer, since I am not an expert at it, I do not want to be my first attempt being a live meeting. So If you would, I would appreciate it if you would take responsibility for being the moderator for today's meeting. So if you see questions that need to be answered, if you could simply verbalize those questions to the whole group, I would appreciate that.
I will do that. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, thanks. Next item in terms of opening the meeting is simply the roll call. And we do have the ability to recognize everybody who has logged into the Zoom meeting. So, Jennifer, do you have any questions as to, you know, maybe the names of somebody who's logging in that you don't necessarily recognize, you need to get clarification on?
Nope, I see everybody, and I can tell by either email or phone number. I can look that up in our system, so I'm not worried about that piece.
All right, perfect. Okay, so on to item number two, presentation and approval of the meeting minutes. And Kathy, I'm not sure where we're at on that, so I'll turn it over to you.
I sent that out to the board. There was no changes, and so I would propose that we approve those, unless anybody has any questions.
I do not have any questions. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Okay.
Any opposed? Okay. Minutes are approved. Number three, treasurer report, Joe.
You're on mute, Joe.
Joe, if you can hear us, you need to unmute your computer.
Okay, you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. This is last month's, not, I don't have September's. We had 93,861 in checking. We had 61,193 in savings. And on that special account, we got 4,270. And overall, we're still in good shape. I don't have any major questions. We seem to be okay in our budget. The only question I came up with is on the fuel expense. Last year, we had a fuel expense of, let me find that page real quick. We had a budget of $11,500, and we only spent $4,500. This year, we had a budget of $8,000, and we've spent $7,300. I don't know what the difference was in the fuel expense. Other than that, we're looking good.
I can help out with the fuel expense. Last year, we didn't really need very much fuel. And this year, we probably used about the same amount of fuel, but it was substantially higher in price.
Yes, I can relate to that on my Ford F-250. Substantially higher in gas prices.
Yeah, I'm going by dollars, not miles. I'm going by dollars, not the number of gallons, so I can't compare the two.
Exactly. Yeah, fuel is a lot more expensive this year than it was last year, that's for sure.
That's all I got.
Okay, any questions for Joe in terms of finances from anybody on the call? Okay, so we'll move on to item number four on the agenda, the office report, and that is Jennifer.
Well, first, my apologies to Joe. The reason he doesn't have current financials is because I'm still running a little catch up on getting everything entered so that we have something monthly. So the only two big things that I would add that we had coming and going was obviously the purchase of the new ranch truck and all the paperwork and costs associated with that. And we got the check from the Ponsagunt, is that how you say it? Hunting Association from Larry for our portion of the proceeds of the fundraiser. So we basically covered the cost of the truck with that, if you want to look at it that way. Other than that, Mariah, as you all know, was supremely organized, and everything is in order and exactly where it is. So all delays and issues are mine and mine alone. And as far as anything else goes, Mike, you're going to take the survey results and all the other items that I normally report on. So they're all yours. Any questions for me?
Well, Jennifer, I just want to say again, thank you very much for taking on the position. And I know it's going to be very difficult to take everything over from Mariah. I mean, she was doing it for 7 years, had everything dialed in, and we'll give you a little bit of a honeymoon period. You know, you'll have at least a couple of months to try to get everything, you know, perfect and up to speed. So nobody expects you to be perfect on day one.
Well, thank you for that.
All righty. Any questions for Jennifer? Well, I actually have one question. How is the reservations system going? Did that transfer over smoothly? Do we have any hiccups with reservations?
No, as you all, I may or may not know, it's a very maintenance intensive and human error prone system. So hopefully our progress on a new website and perhaps a plugin for automated reservations we'll address all of that, but no, that was one of the first things I tackled. I'm very confident with regard to the reservations. But there's a lot of room for overlap and error simply because of the way it's done. So I'm sure a couple of people have gotten caught in past months and in how that works. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what kind of solution we can put in place. But for now, it's running smoothly just as it did when Mariah managed it.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Any questions for Jennifer? No? Okay, so we'll move on. Mr. Jacobson, property management report.
Well, I've been working a lot on roads in the Upper Crawford area, learning a lot on the grader and how not to get it stuck on a hillside. I have the equipment set up at the back gates for right now, and I'm trying to clear all the gravel at John Harris's request out of there, so I'm hauling some of that up to the Crawford area because there's a lot of spots that need gravel, and we'll clear that up. And then I don't know, there's a plan, I guess, to put culverts up there. I got the back gate so it will close again so we can lock it up for the hunting season. I'll be working on firewood. We got a few cabins this week, and so I distributed some firewood yesterday, and we'll get some out today, and that'll all be done. And just looking forward, we got flooring ordered and paid for sitting in Las Vegas. I'll be going down there probably Tuesday because it's supposed to be bad weather. So I'll go down there and I will pick up wood flooring from that. And that's for cabin four. And we also have a spiral staircase going to go into cabin four that is going to eliminate the ladder/staircase that's being used in cabin four right now. And then we're going to be jumping on cabins 9 and 10 this year. The goal is to get those two cabins remodeled and in service by spring, and that'll be with the help of Jeff and Tina Collins.
Thank you for that. And I've heard in the past, I've never actually been in cabin four, but I've heard that the staircase in that cabin was certainly not code and kind of dangerous. And so we're replacing that with a spiral staircase. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. None of the staircases are really to code, any cabin. But, yeah, that four has been the two worst qualities of cabin four are the floor and the staircase, and we're addressing both of those.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Hey, Kurt, there was a question. Did you say the north gate got fixed?
Yes. They must have hit that. I don't know what they hit that thing with, but, you know, to bend that lockbox, that lockbox is made out of quarter-inch steel. But I pulled the post with the backhoe and got it back to where it was, and the gate closes now, so we'll be able to lock it.
So just for everyone's benefit and knowledge, when are we planning to lock that gate this year?
It's for the rifle hunt, which I believe starts next week. Well, not
do
next
we
ha- week.
Do we have actual dates?
Coming week. Is that right, Kathy? I do not have the actual dates.
I'll look them up right now. I can't remember exactly what the day starts.
I think it's a week from next Thursday.
I think you're right. I think it starts midweek.
Hey, Kurt, can you hear me? Kurt?
Yes, sir.
Hey, as far as that north gate there, they shot the lock off before in the past and the chain that holds it. I talked to Brent about this. Maybe we should pick up one of those 2,000-pound concrete barricades we got and drop it in front of the gate and leave it there until the season's over and then move it when we're done.
Yeah. Well, there's one right down the road. If that's what you want me to do, I'll do it.
Just a suggestion. I mean, if they're going to shoot it off, they'll do it again.
The only problem with that is if a member is coming through, which has happened in the past, and they get stuck there, there's a concrete barrier. They don't have an option of going and opening the gate for them.
Well, and I also don't like that. I also don't like that idea in case of a fire. We need to have, you know, the ability to open that gate, you know, in an emergency.
And if it's locked with a padlock, you're in the same. I agree, but you're in the same boat if it's locked the way we fixed it. Unless you have a rifle to shoot the lock off, you're still in a boat load of trouble.
I think we're starting to have enough people on the ranch that we have enough eyes and ears. We're seeing a lot more things than in the past where it was, you know, absentee owners more or less. So I do agree we should still keep it locked just to maintain that right. But I would be a little afraid of blocking it off for access and safety and travel and those that should be able to get through.
I apologize, but I just saw a message pop up on my screen saying, great idea, but I didn't see what came before that. Jennifer, what was the suggestion before the great idea comment?
I'm depending on the recording.
Gotcha. Okay, let's get back to the agenda. Moving on, the next item is a follow-up request by Jeff and Tina Collins to talk about gravel pit usage and policies. So, Jeff and Tina, why don't you just share with us what your questions or comments are so we can address them.
Well, the last meeting that topic was addressed, Larry was in Alaska. So Kurt had said he wanted to wait for Larry to get back to look at the pit and see what needs to be done and how and why. But we talk to members out here, and there's more and more and more people looking to improve their lots, which requires gravel, so it's becoming a more sought-after item. So we thought it really needs to be addressed soon.
There's no reason why there hasn't been any gravel process this year for everyday members, and I don't agree that members should have to hire a contractor to have gravel process. That's not a fair way thing to... So basically, only rich people can have gravel because you have to be able to hire a contractor. That's not fair for members.
Well, Larry, I think you're the one with the most knowledge and experience on this topic in terms of, you know, how we've been doing it for the last 40 years and where we're at today and where do we go in the future.
I don't know exactly what Tina and Jeff would propose or what they would like. I think all of us would like somebody to provide us with gravel, but that's just not the real world.
So we have every lot owner on the ranch has the equal right to get access to gravel for their lot, and there's a process for doing that. So why don't you just kind of walk everybody through what that normal process is for getting gravel?
To be able to get gravel from the Deer Springs gravel pit, you have to purchase the quantity that you're wanting to take, you have to buy from the BLM. And the BLM charges 75 cents per yard for the material you take. The ranch has also been charging that or a dollar just to have money to recover the pit once we're all done with it. I think in many circumstances that fee has been waived or just not charged because we haven't been on top of it. But the gravel is available right out of the hill if you've got equipment and time and knowledge to get it, or if not, I mean, nobody's doing that for free for anybody.
Well, the last meeting, John said it's off limits because it's unsafe for the everyday member to go and access gravel. But he's not willing to hire somebody to pull some gravel down so a regular member can go get gravel.
Let me defend John here for a second. This is Vance. John is talking about processed and screened gravel, not raw pit mixed. Okay, so let's get that straight right now.
The section of the raw pit that we're talking about, so the last person who processed a lot of material left it concaved and in a unsafe condition. So if we took our little tractor down there and that came crashing down, we would be buried. So unless we have very large equipment, we can't take anything out of that hill, regardless of processed or not processed. So that was what John had said at the last meeting when this topic was talked about, was that somebody would have to bring out huge equipment to fix the unsafe condition. And that's not cool. Somebody else processes a lot of material, makes the pit unsafe, and now it's the next member's problem? That's not okay.
Well, part of that is a misunderstanding that somebody, one person, has taken all that gravel and made it unsafe. That's a process of years and 10 different people digging it out and obviously taking the lowest, easiest, what they can get to and not bringing it down. So there's places in the pit today where you can drive with your little tractor and get gravel. but it's basically a continual cycle. Unless you go and push some down and then take it, even in the places that aren't concave and dangerous, all you're doing is creating the concave and dangerous spot.
Right.
So if people are willing to do the work or pay for the work or put in the time, there is gravel available at the pit, bank run, pit run gravel, that any and everybody is welcome to. It just has to be, I guess, watched so that it's not just perpetuating the same cycle in the same spot. Kathy's son Brad was blamed as being the culprit of causing the problem. His guys maybe made a portion of it a little bit worse, but not really. And Brad actually called me and asked about that, and I told him not to worry about it because I was going to be moving equipment in within a short period of time and correct that problem. So it wasn't necessarily his fault. Yes, they did take some of the gravel. So did four or five others. So it's not one person here or one person there. But anybody that takes gravel out of that pit should take it in a way that it doesn't matter whether you're creating a 3-foot bank or a 13-foot bank or a 30-foot bank. If you're not bringing it down, you're just taking the easy pickings. Somebody had to spend the time and money to create that.
So, Larry, what's our solution for the future? Because obviously we don't want a dangerous situation where somebody could get hurt, you know, regardless of who it is. So how do we fix the problem? And does the association pay for that? Which obviously that means we're all paying for that fix, whatever it is. So how do we go forward?
It's kind of a complex. There's probably four different problems right there in the area. The traffic and safety, the traffic flow through that pit area needs to change. And I've talked with John a little bit about it. I've talked to Brent about it. I've talked to Kurt about it. And so we're formulating a plan. I talked to the BLM. One of the ideas I have is to actually change the where that road goes down off the hill and how it goes to make it straighter and smoother and everything. The water flow coming out of Rod Johnson's little canyon historically came down through there and through a culvert that probably none of you have ever seen. Maybe one or two of you have seen. I know Brent dug it up and redid it once years and years ago. But right now, all that water's running and flowing right through the pit area and around the corner and washing out the road and filling in culverts a couple hundred yards up Meadow Canyon north. So the water flow through that whole area needs to be revised. The traffic flow through that area needs to be revised. The slope of the hill needs to be revised. And I would propose that we do go ahead and I would be willing to do part of it as a freebie simply because I've invested time and money in getting equipment that I plan to have there to produce quality road base for the ranch association and for ranch members. But to reshape that hill and leave an area or a section where anybody that's got a tractor can pull up and load their own material with their own BLM permit, or I plan to have material there. Obviously I have to cover the machinery costs. And so I'm not producing material for people to take for free for sure. But the water flow, traffic pattern, safety and security, we really can't have what we've allowed to happen in the past is all kinds of equipment there, back and forth and back and forth, backing out into the traffic flow. And we now have, you know, every few minutes, somebody on a razor or 13 or 14 or 15 people on razors coming around the corner, or a pickup truck pulling a trailer and a Suburban and a who knows what. We've been fortunate and we've never had rock come down off the hill, but but it is there is a potential there. John is very cautious and safety minded, maybe more so than he needs to be. But if something had happened, then all of us would be screaming that, hey, he wasn't cautious enough. So I almost think that we should maybe create a separate category or a committee or a group of the gravel pit committee to review and organize an ongoing plan for future, and so it can happen. I obviously get busy with everything else I'm doing and don't have enough time or enough money to just snap my fingers and put there what I would like to see there and then make it operate for free.
Larry, I know that in one of the meetings that they created a committee for the gravel pit. And I know that Bart was on there because of his engineering experience. Randy said, Fry said he'd do it. I can't remember all who was going to be on it. I know Brent and Kurt was going to be involved with John. So I know that they have started that, but I don't think anybody's reached out to anybody.
I'll reach out to everybody, and I'll try to organize a meeting.
This is Brian Castle. Could I take a couple minutes here and interject into this conversation?
Go for it, Brian.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Okay, I had a different idea I'd like to throw out there for the gravel, and it seems to be a big problem. Everybody here really needs gravel. Especially with the rains and improving the lots. And there's a lot of problems with the gravel pit that we already talked about, the unsafe condition, the water flow, the traffic, just labor, getting the gravel screened. And maybe we have a different solution. I mean, at the end of Scootumpaw, we have the Scootumpaw gravel pit. And the benefit of that is that we can get gravel delivered in some pretty large quantities. They have the double trailers. And if we just had a staging area, like near the airstrip, where they could come and dump 200 tons, 300 tons of gravel, we could sell that to the lot owners, and we would only have to worry about the delivery, the final delivery, you know, on our side roads with the ranch truck getting it up to each lot. And it shouldn't cost anything because we would sell, obviously, to cover the cost of the gravel and the delivery. So it would be not that much of a budget issue. It would be a wash to do that. And that would also take away any, you know, safety issues. And if that could be managed, where if the pile gets down to 25% of what we ordered, and we could have a reorder and just keep that there, and people could buy it and have it in a few days, and it could actually be washed gravel, which is different than, you know, what's coming out of the pit, which is a lot better for, you know, some of the roads. And we could continue to use the pit as we wanted, if we wanted to use that as a source for maintaining the roads on Deer Springs, or maybe people even would rather get it from the pit if they were looking for a lower cost and they could wait. So that's just an idea that maybe there's a different solution other than just our gravel pit.
Thank you for the suggestion. Larry, what's your response to that?
Unfortunately, all that would do is make it twice as expensive as it already is. You can get gravel right now out of Scootumpaw, but nobody on the ranch is willing to pay that price. So if we buy it from Scootumpaw and truck it to the ranch, that right now is $18 a yard delivered.
Well, I would be willing to pay the price if I could get gravel here. The problem is getting the trucks up to the, you know, the lots out in the outer extremities of the ranch. You can't get the big trucks where it's economic to buy it from Scootapaw, you know, without having like a staging area where they can come and not get off the main Scootapaw Road very far, just dump with their side dumps and get back to the pit. I think we could also negotiate and get some better prices than, you know, standard prices. We're only 12 miles away from the pit. I would think it's worth investigating.
Mm-hmm. That's a good boy.
Thanks, Brian. I agree with you. I think it's worth investigating. The question is, how much are people going to be willing to pay? I mean, Jeff, would you pay $18 a yard?
No.
So.
My biggest problem, so I had that option a couple of years ago from the Scootapaw pit. The problem I had with it was the gravel itself was only $6 a yard. So they're charging $12 just to truck it over here. And I'm not going to pay it. That's too much money. The $6 a yard?
Which,
no problem. It was the transportation fee that was out of line.
So let me ask a question. Does Deer Springs Ranch own a truck where we could go and just have them put that $6 a yard gravel in our truck? We go get a load, bring it back, and dump it somewhere, and it's $6 plus our transportation cost, which is going to be very reasonable, negligible, maybe another dollar or two.
It's too small.
Larry, would that be an option?
The truck only holds 5 yards of material. It would take way too many trips, way too much wear and tear. So what Brian Castle's talking about is those big, like, dually side dumps that can haul, you know, a lot of material at a time. 5 yards of
which is why they charge $12.
No, this is for the little
this,
thing.
That was only a 10-yard truck, but the gas and the time is the same whether you're hauling 5 yards of material or whether they're hauling 100 yards of material. So 100 yards of material, you're buying in bulk, right? So everybody's familiar with Costco. When you buy in bulk, you get a better price. Right, so one truck rolling over here to dump 100 yards of gravel is the same as a 10-yard truck coming over here. Why are they charging $12 a yard for transportation?
Well, we haven't priced the big trucks.
Yeah, I haven't priced out the big trucks.
Somebody will have to investigate, do the legwork to call, and find out how much for those pup trucks with the big side dump or bottom dumps to put it somewhere local that everybody had access to. That would be an investigation we would have to do.
Gotcha. Kurt, I think what we need is, you know, we're talking about, you know, Kathy talked about the gravel committee, and I think we really should investigate Brian's suggestion for what, you know, what could we get gravel dumped at the ranch for? Where would it go? You know, would they be willing to negotiate with us because we're local and, you know, it would be fairly easy for them to get it to a place, that would be easily accessible for all the owners? I think that's actually a very good idea. The question is whether or not it would make sense financially. If we could get the cost to the point where people are willing to just pull up and have washed, screened, you know, basically, you know, perfect gravel ready to just haul away. I think that's a wonderful idea. I mean, I personally would probably do that. And, you know, the question is, you know, what is kind of the best deal we could get in terms of making that happen? That's number one. What's the lowest price we could negotiate? Number two, if we did do that, where would that gravel go? Where would it get dumped? You know, and then number three, we still need to work on getting our gravel pit safe and accessible and doing all the things that Larry talked about in terms of improving the traffic flow and the water flow not running down and, you know, just ensuring that we have safety and security for our own gravel pit. So I think those are all things that need to be investigated and then, you know, basically have a presentation to say these are the options and this is what it's going to cost. Because this is something that all of the owners, you know, are going to be involved in and are potentially going to benefit from.
Hey, Mike, Bart's got his hand raised.
Oh, Bart, go for it.
So everything costs money, right? And the finances, I mean, it seems like all of our the money that the ranch has is already accounted for, earmarked for projects, right? So if we're going to bring on a new thing to do, what's dropping off the list? You know, if we're going to, we have a gravel pit, I think we should focus, personally, I think we should focus on, you know, using our own gravel pit and getting that in working order before we start hauling gravel from another area. That makes more sense. If we're going to incur, and again, we have to remember, if we're going to incur another cost, something has to drop off the list of what can get done. So I just wanted to.
There's already a road budget. There's already money allotted for roads and gravel and all that. At the end of the year, John usually has extra money left over and he just buys culverts.
So, and it turns out we need them. And we probably need more of them.
In the yard and they're not being used.
Yeah, but they sit in the yard for a couple of years before we actually need to use them.
All right.
A culvert sitting in the yard does no good. So it's not necessarily a matter of adding, it's a matter of refocusing where money is going and why money is going there.
Which is another way of saying exactly what I just said. Something has to drop off the list so you can, but let's not argue about it. That's all I'm saying.
Let me interject. Hang on just a second. Larry, you're next. But before we continue, just in terms of the recording, I'm going to request if anyone wants to make a comment, and this is Mike, if anybody wants to make a comment and just interject into the conversation, we certainly respect that. But do me a favor from now on, say, you know, this is Jeff Collins and I have a comment to make and then make your comment. You know, this is Bart and or this is Brian Castle and I have a comment. That way for the recording, it'll be much easier to track the comments and who's making the comments. So, you know, as a suggestion going forward, let's try to do that. And then I want to clarify one thing, and that is we do have a budget, and we need to use that budget effectively to, you know, get the gravel pit that we already have into the shape that we want to have it. But what Brian Castle is suggesting is different. What he's suggesting is the ranch makes an expense to purchase gravel, but then gets that money back in because people are willing to pay the price. And so what Brian is suggesting is not a budgetary item per se. In other words, it's not going to require that something else drops off the budget because by definition, if we're going to, you know, purchase $10,000 worth of gravel and have it drop somewhere, then when people buy it to use it, they're going to be paying the $10,000 back. So I just wanted to clarify that point.
Okay.
Okay, Larry.
So this is Kurt. Larry.
Go ahead, Kurt.
Maybe some kind of a combination of the two ideas. I think Brian has a great idea, and I absolutely agree with Bart that we should be focusing on getting our gravel pit functional because that's better for everybody all around. And Larry's already got a plan for that. And I think, you know, Larry needs to be included in the committee, because anything the committee comes up with, Larry has the equipment, so we're going to have to include him in these conversations. But maybe in the interim, maybe we do get some gravel delivered, and that will alleviate the current situation while we're getting hard done.
Okay, Larry?
Okay, I want to clarify a couple of things real quick. The Scutumpaw pit does not produce any wash product at all, period. It is a crushing plant and a screen plant. It crushes material and screens it out. It appears clean just simply because it has shaken out all the dirt. They do not run a wash plant. The crusher creates a much better product that's good for road base and for putting around anywhere, because it locks together and doesn't roll like screened gravel is natural round stone. So anything you run through a screen is the small fines and the dirt that's not beneficial, and the round rock, which is really not beneficial. So I hate to see us spend money on products that don't last long. John has spent budget money on culverts, and whether they lay in the field for a year or a month, the value is still there. He hasn't put it into place, not because of lack of need. They're needed all over right now, and last year and the year before they were needed. But we have the money to buy a culvert. We haven't had the money to pay somebody to go install the culverts. But the culvert exists, and it's real. It's exactly the same as having cash money in the bank account. If you buy gravel and spread it, is it going to be there next week? If it's not put on a road that's prepared properly, it won't even be there the next storm. So if we don't prepare our roads correctly and then use the correct material on the roads, we're putting Band-Aids on something and throwing money away. I personally don't see Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association getting into the business of buying and staging material for the members. Right now, if any member wants to haul 100 yards or 200 yards from Scutumpaw Pit, we can easily find a place to stage that. But I'm telling you, all you're doing is paying their higher price, the higher trucking price, setting it on a spot, and then paying more money to truck it to its final destination. So the most economical thing for us to do is to create a working pit at our location and shorten the travel distances for everybody.
Thank you for that, Larry. This is Mike, and I wanted to add one more comment, and that is that Dale Clarkson at either our last meeting or the one before had mentioned the fact that we have the black ash available, which can be a substitute for gravel in certain circumstances, and he had offered to give that black ash for free for some of the Deer Springs Ranch roads. And I think that certainly should be part of the conversation, wherever that black ash could be used. And Larry, I don't know if, you know, having that black ash available for owners to use on their own lots, on their driveways, is currently available or not. I know that there's that black ash on some of the driveways up in Slide Canyon near me that you've put on, and I don't know if there's a cost for that. But in addition to just talking about gravel, we also should be talking about that black ash as an option, you know, whenever it might be appropriate.
The ash and the cinders, it is beneficial in certain areas. Some do not like it around their cabin because it does stick in your shoes and track into your floors. And again, we get back into the dilemma of can any lot owner take their personal tractor and their personal trailer and dig some out and put it in their trailer and haul it somewhere? You're again dealing with a unsafe overhang cliff that can collapse on somebody. And so I'm sure my dad would be willing to entertain requests or options to look at, but I don't think he would just say, yeah, anybody's welcome to go help themselves and do whatever they want. That would be pretty, can't even think of the right word, irresponsible to just turn somebody loose. The cinder pit is probably less safe right now than the Deer Springs gravel pit with the danger of somebody getting collapsed on in a small tractor.
That's good to know. Thank you.
So, Mike, this is Vance. Can I jump in?
Yes, please.
This whole discussion has gone way far afield. My understanding has been, ever since I've been there, and it's more or less codified in the current gravel pit policy, that the rancher's responsibilities in regards to the gravel pit are to keep it in a usable position, you know, usable condition so people can load their own raw pit mix. Right now we're deficient on that. I get that. The only other thing the ranch is required to do is the paperwork and the collection of required fees to the BLM to the ranch itself. Those three things. That's it. We don't owe gravel in any shape, way, or form to the people. They have to deal with that on their own. But we do need to keep the pit in safe conditions such that they can do that. And, you know, we're getting like really complicated here on something that doesn't need to be.
I would make a suggestion or recommendation. maybe this is a motion for the board to consider. Part of the reason that the pit, I wouldn't go as far as to say it's unsafe, but it is unusable for the average lot owner right now, mostly because our screening process in the past, for the past 10 years, has created so much excess waste and, you know, the overburden. And again, screening does that. You screen out 100% of the hill, you take away 20% of marginal product and spread it on the roads, and 80% is still sitting there in big piles of big rock that nobody can handle or move with anything less than a big, big machine. That rock needs to be moved so that Jeff could pull up there with his tractor and load usable material. I think that bulk, that overburden, has been created by DSROA over the past 10 years. Some of it was created clear back with the Alan Steed operation. And so I think as a board, as a ranch, we probably have a responsibility to clean that up and make it so that the pit is usable, and at least have a section where anybody could pull in there with a small tractor, or if they wanted to shovel in the back of their pickup truck, they could. Right now, part of the hill is an overhang that's unsafe, and part of it is blocked by all the big rock. That's the reason I set up my two crusher machines right there with the intention of eating all the rock. And unfortunately, I just haven't had the time or the money to finish putting together the pieces and turn the machine on. Although I did last board meeting when we met at the ranch that day, I started one of the two machines. And so I just need to have another bit of free time to kick them on and start chewing up rocks. But I'll make a motion for the board to consider. I think from our road budget or from our whatever budget we want to try to pull it from, we should set aside some funds and authorize somebody. And I would throw my hat in the ring to be one considered to go ahead and make the shape of the hill safe and move the rock, the bulk excess waste rock from the previous screening operations away so that people can get to the hill and use, you know, haul whatever they personally want to pay for and haul. So that's a motion for the board to consider.
This is Tina Collins. That's all I was asking for, and I second your motion. But is it going to be done in a timely fashion? Are we going to have to wait another year? Like, the mud is coming. Winter is coming. So gravel is needed sooner.
I think we're in a position, we talked about this a little bit in our executive board meeting, is we continue to put Band-Aids on bullet wounds. And unfortunately, I think we're in a position right now where we have to continue to put some Band-Aids on, but I don't want to waste the whole box of Band-Aids knowing that it's not going to solve the problem. But I brought up Broad Hollow in our executive meeting. I mentioned it. It's in need of work right now. It's better to spread a little bit of gravel on there to kind of get by, but we really truly should not spread any gravel on it until it's shaped and contoured and we take care of the water first and the shape of the road. But it may be worth wasting $500 worth of gravel just to spread on it so you guys can get in and out this winter. I don't know what the weather's going to do, whether we're going to still have another month or two of workable time or not. They're saying we may get snow on Tuesday, and who knows how much it's going to continue after that, or if it's back to normal October and a nice November. Who knows? But to continue what has been done as far as cleaning up trees for fire protection purposes, for sun on the road purposes, the trees are one thing. The water drainage, our roads need to be widened back to where we have water collection. The road is not the water collection. And right now, Broad Hollow, the road is the river.
Yeah. This is Jeff. Can we fix that like ASAP?
Larry, I think that's a question for you from Jeff. Can we fix Broad Hollow to make it, you know, passable sooner rather than later?
Yes and yes. It can be done. I have a hard time, and I'm kind of torn between looking at things and thinking, yeah, yes, I could do it. Do I have time? I can bend a few things and create time, but you know, it's all about time and money, unfortunately.
Well, and unfortunately, John is not on our call today. He had another engagement, so you know, John really should be part of the conversation when we're talking about roads. And you know, it doesn't necessarily need to be Larry, but if the association needs to do work in order, you know, and Jeff and Tina, number one, we really appreciate the volunteer work that you guys have been doing. I know you've been doing work up there on trees and on other things to help out, so thank you very much for all that work you've been doing. The challenge is, you know, everybody wants to have their road, you know, worked on or fixed. And so it's a matter of priorities. But I think, you know, since you guys are living up there year round, it certainly makes sense to try to do whatever we can to make that road passable. And you live up the same road that Brent does. Is that correct?
Yes. Brent and the cat and us all live on Broad Hollow. So that's three full-time people on Broad Hollow.
Yeah, so in my opinion, I think it definitely merits some priority consideration in terms of what we can do. And again, Larry, whether it's you or not, or if the association needs to spend some money, but I also agree with Larry that we don't want to just go, you know, spend $5,000 on gravel and then next spring, that's just gone. The benefit of that is just gone. You know, so I think that needs to be part of a bigger, more long-term plan to say, what are we going to do to improve the roads on the ranch overall and stop just putting, you know, Band-Aids on, you know, as a temporary fix and really have a more more planned approach to getting all of the roads taken care of on the ranch on a priority basis. So
let me make a quick comment, and I think we need to wrap this up and move on, but it is a big thing. We are transitioning some the historical responsibility of the association to do minimal maintenance on the roads for weekend vacationers, and now we have literally full-time residents. The ranches, the association's responsibility on those roads is still the same, but full-time residents are literally their lives are depending on being able to get in and out and in and out and in and out. So personally, I think those of us that are choosing to use the ranch more probably have more of a responsibility and need to put in more, whether that's through labor, volunteer time, doing some of the work, participating. I'm gonna use John and Dan Wirt and Kurt. And Kurt's the only one here to kind of keep me on track. Most of you are aware that in the past 2 months with the rain and everything that's gone on at the ranch, Dan Wirt purchased, I believe, somewhere in the neighborhood of $6,000 worth of culverts. And Kurt can correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's about the right number. I would guess that more than $6,000 worth of time and effort has now gone into putting in and fixing that road. And I'm not saying any of it is bad or begrudging any of it. I had a conversation with Kurt and Dan Wirt out there a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Simply because a lot of times we jump on trying to fix something or put a Band-Aid on something, and then after the fact look at it and go, you know, we really should have done this first, you know, step one, step two, step three, instead of jumping into step six in an emergency, and then step back and from an association standpoint look and see, okay, what is Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association's budgetary amount or responsibility to this particular section of road that serves 1, 2, 5, 10 members. Does John have made the comment? I believe he says about $50 per year per lot goes toward roads. And if that's the case, if your road doesn't get any work at all for 5 years, does your $50 add up to where now you've got $250 worth of value to put toward that road? And if you own 10 lots like Dan does that accumulate? You know, we have to kind of play this all back and forth, and how do we do what we need to do? Brent, the Collins, and Castles being permanent residents, Joe McElroy has a home up in there. I mean, there's several other homes in that area, more used now. That neighborhood has spent a lot of money, of their own money, putting on those roads. But, you know, we're growing, and I think we're experiencing growing pains. But I still hate to see a ton of money and time put into something that is not a lasting effect. Anyway, I think we still need to talk more, but I like to work more and talk less.
Larry, if you would take half an hour of your time to meet us over on Broad Hollow and help us figure out what trees to take down. I volunteer us to go take trees down and clear a way to move forward in the Broad Hollow process.
Whatever help you need, let us know.
Yeah, that's one good thing about them.
All right. Well, thank you guys again. I think we need to move on. Okay, Brian Castle, maintaining DSR roads and also making it easier for DSR lot owners to get gravel on their personal. Where did that go? Okay, so Brian Castle just made the comment that roads and gravel are two different things, and they certainly are. John's going to be working on the roads and obviously incorporating Larry and whoever else needs to be part of that. And then, Kurt, you're going to be kind of spearheading the gravel conversation and solutions, proposals going forward. So unless anybody objects, I recommend that we move on.
Okay. Mike, two things real quick. I didn't hear any comment from board members on my motion to actively move forward with correcting the pit and authorizing some money or somebody, whether it's me or Brad or Norris or whoever, to shape the pit where people can pull in there and load their, you know, if they get a BLM permit and pay the fees, they can have access to bank run, pit run gravel. That's one thing. Secondly, I think it'd be totally fine for anybody to pursue, and if Brian or anybody else wants to call and negotiate with Brent Robinson at the Scoot-N-Paw pit and see what kind of a bulk rate price they could get, I would be in favor of creating a spot at the ranch. I don't believe it's the best option. I don't think it'll at all be economical, but if it plays out differently, down where the big burn slash pile has been, their trucks could easily get in there and dump bulk material and turn around and get out, and then owners could pick it up with a smaller vehicle and place it on their lots. So if somebody wants to pursue that, I would say go for it. If anybody wants to.
Well, I guess we need to have the number.
Yeah, thank you, Larry, for that. I was going to say the same thing. In terms of your motion for the board to consider budgeting money to remove the overburden and, you know, make the current gravel pit safe. Basically saying yes to that is like saying yes to writing a blank check if we don't have a dollar amount. What I would say is, you know, I would be comfortable saying yes to that and approving that with having Larry do the work. Larry mentioned earlier in our meeting today that he's willing to donate some of his time for free to do that. But I don't think he necessarily needs to donate all of his time for free. And so my response to that would be that I trust Larry enough to say, you know, if you think you can get that done and it's a reasonable dollar amount, fine. The other thing that I will add is we do want to be fair. You know, we're an association representing all the owners. Larry's already volunteered to, you know, donate some of his time for free. And then, you know, I would suggest that, you know, the association would be willing to pay for part of that work because it should. But I know Kathy Pierce has said in the past that whenever we have major projects that the ranch is proposing, that we should put it out for multiple bids. And for most things, I think that's the right approach.
I can walk the dogs, but I just love the meeting on, like, for putting your phone on.
Somebody needs to put their themselves on mute. Thank you. You know, I don't know that what we're talking about right now would be appropriate for trying to submit bids, primarily because Larry's already volunteered to do some of the work for free. But I, you know, so I would say in response to Larry's motion to the board that my response would be to say, for the board, again, if everybody agrees that we would agree to go ahead and authorize Larry to do that work, whatever work is necessary, and then simply, you know, have the association pay for the difference. But I think we definitely would want to get at least a general idea of the dollar amount so we know if we're talking about $5,000 or $50,000.
This may be a perfect situation where we could the two things that I proposed to have done is to slope the hill so that it's not a concave cliff and remove all the big cobble overburden produced from the previous screening process. Those two things could easily be quantified, and so an email or a text could be sent out to Brad, to Norris, to whoever to say, can you give us a price this week to accomplish these two items during the month of October? That would be, I think, fairly easy for them to even, probably from their memory of being there, they may not even need to go back and relook at it.
Current pictures would be good to send with the bid.
Yeah.
Of the way it sits.
That would at least be a way to fairly quantify to the association, these are two things we're going to do, X number of yards of material moved X number of feet, what's the price, and go for it.
I think that's an excellent suggestion. Who could put that together? Larry, would you be willing to put that together and say, just, you know, write down the scope of work?
I can. I could help. I think it would probably be more appropriate for Kurt as the property manager to send that message to me, to Brad, to Norris, to a couple of the other contractors that I know have died recently, so they can't obviously take care of it anymore.
Well, I guess not.
Well, and obviously John needs to be involved in this as well. So yes. Kurt, can you work with Larry and John, basically just quantify the work that needs to be done, and let's get an email out to all of the folks who are potential bidders and say, this is the scope of work and what would you charge us to do it?
I will do that.
Thank you very much. Okay, moving on. The next item on the agenda, item number 7, a certified water specialist discussion. And Kurt, that has your name next to it.
Well, I was, and I'm not real knowledgeable about this. It was just something that was brought up. I don't know exactly what's going on with it, but Jeff Mickelson is asking for $500 and some for further training. Joanne, do you know anything about this?
Well, Kurt, I can tell you that I was involved in developing the CWO Certified Water Operator agreement and contract, and we basically offered it to Jeff, and he accepted. And the way that works is Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association is responsible for paying for all of the training required for that individual in that position to be trained and certified and therefore be able to perform that job. So it was already agreed as part of the CWO agreement that Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association would pay for all required training. Now there may be some optional training programs that are not, you know, not a must-have situation. And so any additional or supplemental training that is not actually required to maintain the certification, that's something that should be subject to discussion and, you know, either approved or not approved based on, you know, what the board thinks is appropriate. But in terms of mandatory training to maintain certification, that's already been agreed to in writing by the association, that the association will pay for that for Jeff's training.
Awesome. That was brought to me. Now, what does Jeff need to do to go forward with this? And I don't even know. I haven't seen any requests, and I apologize. My email sometimes is a challenge, so I don't get everything in a timely manner.
Yeah, it's. I would say at this point, Kurt, it's nothing for you to be concerned about. Again, he has an actual agreement with the association to perform the duties of the certified water operator, and obviously that's one of the most important jobs we have at the ranch, is to make sure we have safe water. And, you know, that benefits everybody. So if there are any specific questions, you and I can handle that offline, but I don't think it's necessary to take up everybody else's time in this meeting. Okay?
I'm good with that.
All right, next item on the agenda. The results of the ballot survey, everybody knows that prior to the annual meeting, we sent out the ballots for the board positions. And in addition, we sent out a survey to all of the owners with a couple of questions in response to some recent inquiries about what can and can't be done at Deer Springs Ranch. So basically the first question was, should Deer Springs Ranch Association allow owners to essentially develop rental units, you know, Airbnb type units or glamping units for the specific purpose of making money by renting out units at Deer Springs Ranch? And the results of the survey, there were 22 people that said, yes, that should be allowed. And there were 99 that said, no, we should not allow owners to develop, property that's intended specifically for rental. So basically that's, 4.5-1 against allowing owners to develop rental units on their property. And then in addition, the second question was, should the Deer Springs Owners Association be to more clearly define what's okay or not okay in terms of usage? The response to that question was 91 said yes. And 27 said no. In other words, again, basically, almost 4-1 said, yes, we should update the bylaws to make it more clear as to what's, essentially okay or not okay when it comes to rental. Lots and lots of comments were submitted. We're still in the process of summarizing everything and getting that out to all of the owners. I read through every single one of the comments myself personally, and, and I'm just paraphrasing, but, how I personally interpreted the results, most people wouldn't have a problem with somebody, you know, if they wanted to, you know, have a friend or a family member or somebody stay there for a few nights and do it a couple of times, you know, and not have it impact anybody else in the area. It's kind of like, you know, if somebody just wanted to do it for a few nights, kind of no big deal. But at the same time, you know, the general consensus was, no, we don't want somebody buying a lot and then intentionally using that lot as a rental property. And again, I'm just sharing the, this is just very big picture at this point. Just wanted to give you the basic overview. Obviously, there are a lot of additional comments out there. But it's, you know, again, we're walking that fine line, that balance between respecting each individual owner's rights to do what they want with their lot, but at the same time recognizing that it's part of a much larger community, which was originally developed as a residential, you know, enterprise or residential area, not a commercial area with the intent of, you know, nightly rental. So I just wanted to, in the meeting today, this is not giving you the, you know, the official results. You know, we'll be sending those out to everybody. But I just wanted to give everybody on this call today just kind of a general overview of the initial results. And again, that was 99 said, no, we don't want nightly rentals. And 22 said yes, and 91 said yes, we do need to update our bylaws to make it more clear, and 27 said no. So those are just, you know, very basic numbers, but I wanted to share those with everybody, and then the board will be summarizing all of those results along with the comments and sending those out to everybody in the near future. Okay, so any questions about that? Okay. Next item, the brief report, areas of responsibility, and I will go first on that. There was a discussion. I started out kind of at the beginning of the meeting, but just to confirm, Kathy is going to keep the position as board secretary going forward. That wasn't clear at our last meeting. It is clear now, so going forward, Kathy will be the secretary to fill that position for the board. Some of you may have heard about the film crew filming at Deer Springs Ranch that was originally planned to take place this fall. It was supposed to be taking place basically right now. The film crew that had been previously approved to come to Deer Springs Ranch and do the filming changed their schedule, and so instead of doing that this year, they're going to be doing it next year at some point. So I just wanted to give everybody an update that that is still planned, but it's not going to happen this year. It'll happen probably early next year, and we'll keep everybody informed when we do have actual dates and plans. We did purchase a new truck for the ranch. Got a very good deal on it, and it's a very nice truck that should last us for many, many years. And I know Kurt is very happy about that. Anything you want to add, Kurt?
It's a really good truck. It's solid. It was really good that Kevin Poole went out to St. George. He happened to be there, and he gave it a look over, and that was his job at one point in his career, was inspecting vehicles for car dealers, so he was the perfect guy to do that, and he brought it in. They gave us a $1,000 discount. The repairs were $1,200, so that worked out really well, and then we just put new tires on it. We had a flat right away. The tires were not destined to last very long. It did have two good tires, though. And I put those two tires, Kevin put the two good tires off the new truck, and we put those on the old Ford. So the old Ford will now be designated to firewood hauling and hauling water and dirty work, and the new truck will be a little bit more protected. It'll be more for cabin maintenance, and it's got all the toolboxes on it, so I can stock all the necessary tools to do any kind of work in any cabin and have everything readily accessible.
All right. Thank you for that. The only other thing I wanted to add as a follow-up to our annual meeting last month, the majority of the people in attendance at the annual meeting are in favor of us trying to develop some option for having horseback riding back at the ranch next year. And so that is something that we're going to be looking at and trying to figure out a way to make horseback riding available at the ranch next year, at least on a limited basis, on a pre-scheduled basis. But that is something that we're going to be looking at as a board for the benefit of all of the owners for next year. All right, so that's everything from me. And next, we'll go to Kurt. Kurt, anything you need to add?
No, I think I discussed all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Kathy?
There's not much other than we're getting into the winter seasons and closing up the cabins. I don't remember the last time we've got for reservations for the lower cabins. Kurt, do you know what that is? Or I should say Jennifer. You probably know, huh?
I do. And we've got the Doug Hunt Cattle Company in all the lower cabins, 7, 8, and Garden through October. And so we will continue to offer 7 and 8 since they're insulated as long as it's feasible. But most likely the freeze will dictate that for 7, 8 and Garden. But other than that, everything else should be closed as of the 15th, so next week. Except for 6, I think we've got a reservation through the 22nd.
Yeah. Now, Kurt, how are you feeling about winter reservations for members that are interested in doing that as an option? Are you still good for that?
Well, it's always there, but nobody ever takes advantage of it. We had a few reservations last year that all canceled. So we didn't have any reservations last year, but we took them, and so we'll do it again this year.
And that is with the $100 fee, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Just didn't know if it'd gone up. Okay, that's all I have, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Kathy. Joe Bose.
I got nothing new other than cabin 4. Looks like we're going to be getting some good repairs on that with the floor and that circular staircase. Other than that, I plan on doing some painting early, hopefully next year in the spring. Other than that, we're about on schedule.
All right. Thank you. Cindy.
Hi. A couple of real quick things. We had planned a city project to be going on in October, and I suppose it's a good thing with this weather that it didn't come through. We were unable to contact the lot owners and get a response for them on the city project on lot 11, I believe. So we're going to try to reschedule that for next year. And the only other thing I had is that on the volunteer work campers, Cindy and Kevin have closed out the season for us, are still closing out the season for us. They've done a fantastic job. I mean, it's really, I've had to do very little, and I appreciate that so much. So I'd like everybody to, nobody has to unmute or anything, but in your heads, please thank Cindy and Kevin Poole for everything they've done.
Thank you, and thank you, Cindy and Kevin. I think you're still on.
Looks like Cindy Olson just dropped. Zoom dropped her. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
She's there.
Okay, good deal. And Larry, anything you would like to add?
Quickly on the volunteer help project that had been talked about over in Podunk that Cindy was just mentioning, I did make contact with Shannon Millay and Dirk. Dirk Smithson is a brother-in-law that owned that lot. Initially, they were concerned, obviously, as any one of us would be, if the association came to me and said, hey, we, your neighbors, are going to come clean up your lot, I think all of us would be going, well, what are you talking about, and why are you snooping around my lot? After I explained kind of what was going on, Shannon particularly said, hey, we would welcome the help and cleaning up the neighborhood. Let me know, just because of the weather, kind of things fell apart. But they are in favor of having that done. I had intended to speak with, oh my gosh, my mind just went blank. Kathy, who's the oh my heavens.
Ed Kennedy.
Ed, yeah. So I had planned to talk with Ed because he was one of the guys that initially brought up the debris trash problem that has been kind of blowing through the weeds and the trees back through there. And I did not get a hold of Ed. So anyway, that's going to be a good project for the neighborhood and the association to kind of help out with next year once the weather's conducive of such work. The deer hunt dates for everybody to know, if you didn't read it in your comments already, because Jennifer posted it. October 13th through the 17th is an any weapon hunt, which is coming up this next week. And then the 23rd through the 31st is the rifle hunt. Those are the dates. We will probably have the gate closed. Again, I don't think we should block the gate, but we do have more and more people on the ranch full-time and working on the ranch part-time, so we have more eyes and ears. And just for general information, in the past, most of the time, it's not the hunters that have caused problems. When we've locked the gate, occasionally it's a hunter. Sometimes it's just other people that are trying to travel through there and are annoyed that they get to that point coming down off the top and realize they're locked out. And so they then retaliate and try to tear something up or vandalize a little bit. Hopefully we won't have that kind of problem. And other than that, I think I've already talked too much today.
All right. Thank you, Larry. I do have one more thing, one more comment to make, but before I do that, does anybody on the call, any of the owners on the call, any questions or comments before we're done today?
I have a question. Are we going to do a final vote for the rental properties? Because that's one of the reasons I bought my property.
Well, the initial survey that we sent out was informational, so we haven't had any kind of an official vote per se. So the survey results are what I was referring to earlier in terms of just what do most of the owners want to see happen. And so I guess you could construe that as a vote because they shared their opinion. I'm going to be talking to Barry Clarkson, the attorney who obviously is very familiar with ranch, and basically let him know what the results of the survey are and go with and get his input and his suggestions in terms of you know, where we go next with it. If it does require any kind of an official vote, I'm not an attorney, but I do know that there are certain things that you have to do legally in order to, you know, change or update the association bylaws, et cetera. So the next step in that, in terms of where do we go with the information, I'm going to be following up with Barry Clarkson as an attorney on behalf of the association to let him know what the survey results are and then, you know, have him give us some guidance in terms of where do we go from here.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely. Any other, that's a good question. Any other questions?
Yeah, I have one for you, Mike. So can I, in regards to the rental property thing, can I make a request or suggestion that some of the gray area be kind of cleaned up? Because there's a vast difference between somebody like us who bought to live out here and decide that we want to just rent one of our rooms to somebody who buys specifically to build and create an Airbnb out here. Is there a way to clean up some of the wording or something to make it clear? Because there's a massive gray area between those two things.
Jeff, thank you for that. And the answer is yes, that needs to be done. In fact, that was one of the comments that was submitted was, you know, and in fact, I know it's a comment that was voiced during one of our meetings a couple of months ago, that there's a big difference between having an owner on the property with a guest, whether they're paying or not, versus having, you know, facilities that are available for people to just show up and stay there and then leave without the owner's involvement whatsoever. So that point was made by, you know, more than one person in terms of there's a difference between having somebody stay there when the owner is on site and available to manage the situation versus having a situation where people just show up and leave with no management whatsoever. So, yes, I think that is one of the things that needs to be clarified. Okay, any other
questions? This is Bart. Can I just comment on that?
Yes, Bart, go ahead.
I mean, we're really starting to get into, we either do it or don't do it. If we're going to let somebody rent a room from their place and say that's okay, but somebody can't have an unhosted or a hosted Airbnb, it's, I mean, it's, we're starting to get some really gray areas there. It's, you know, or not even gray areas, it seems very arbitrary now, you know, and so people advocate really for ways to, well, it seems most people are going to advocate for what way allows them to pay for or best utilize their property, right? And if we want to be, I think the association needs to be careful in how we start to assert control over the individual property rights versus the association's good, right? And so that's kind of the balance we have to walk. We have to manage, right? So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yep. No, I agree with that, Bart. And again, I alluded to that earlier in the meeting, that's walking the fine line between respecting an individual property owner's rights to do what they want with their property and at the same time respecting the fact that that property is part of a larger community and that, you know, what an owner does with their property could have potential negative impacts on the other property owners in the area. And that's always the challenge. You know, how do we respect individual property rights and let people do what they want with their property and at the same time maintain the integrity and, you know, protect the rights of all of the other property owners? So, you know, that is, you know, that's the ultimate challenge. You know, how do we do that? So that's exactly what we need to clarify. And then the final thing I want to mention is just to let everybody know, this past week, Brent met with an individual up at the ranch. His name is Spencer Rollo. With him at the ranch because they have grant money available, and they want to use it to do ingress, egress, improvements at the ranch. And the area that they're talking about is basically going from the forest gate up north of the red reservoir or the pink reservoir, whatever it's called, going over to the gate, forest gate, and then down to just below the third pond on Meadow Canyon Road. And
I think we lost Mike. Does another board member want to pick up where he left off, or do you want me to try and summarize where he was until he rejoins? Okay, basically it's fire abatement. So there's some improvement that would need to be made to roads in order to do this fire fuel abatement. So there would be some brush and fuel clearing. And in order to get the heavy equipment up there, in order to do that brush and fuel fire fuel clearing, there would need to be improvements to the roads, and that wouldn't be done at a cost to us. That would be done at a cost to this grant-funded organization that's clearing the fuels. So it could be a win-win. Sorry, Mike, you kicked off, so I filled in the blanks for you. Go ahead.
No, thank you very much, Jennifer. My computer just showed me the spinning circle, and I apologize for that. Nothing I could do. But, you know, the bottom line is there's grant money available that's going to be spent at the ranch to better our situation, and it's a significant dollar amount. I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of work that's going to be done at the ranch that the association is not going to have to pay for. So that's a huge plus. Just wanted to make sure everybody is aware of that, and the timing of that could start as early as November. So it's right around the corner. All right. Well, with that, I think we're going to be done for today. So thank you, everyone, for participating. And, Jennifer, I look forward to getting the transcription of this to see how it all works out.
Next meeting, November 13th, second Saturday in November?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, second Saturday in November. And that is, what's the date again, 13th?
13th.
Okay. Yep. Second Saturday, same time, 10 a.m. And I'm assuming that we're going to be doing a Zoom meeting again, not as opposed to meeting at the ranch. So, yes, everybody should plan on a Zoom meeting for November.
How do we have access to the recording of a Zoom meeting?
Okay. It's up to you, Mike. If you want to provide it, that's fine. To the board, to anybody else, it's a portable file, so it could even be posted on the website.
That'd be great.
Well, we can talk to Vance. I certainly don't have any objection to it. Normally what we do is we summarize the meeting with written minutes. So basically you just have a written record of what is said. You know, I personally don't have a problem with, you know, making the actual recording available. But I'm not sure how that would work.
Mike?
We've had lots of recordings in the past. Yes, Vance.
Yeah, it's Vance. That's already happening. They're all up there.
Oh, okay.
For maybe the last one or two. Okay.
Perfect.
FYI, if Mariah didn't tell you, you need to send me the M4A file for this meeting that you can get as the administrator. Stick it in Dropbox and send me a link, and then I will trim the there's usually 10 or 15 minutes of stuff at the beginning that needs to be cut off, et cetera, et cetera. I cut that off. I put it on the website in the meeting minutes page.
Excellent.
Gotcha.
So the answer to the question is it will be on the website.
No video. Not necessary.
Aww.
Don't go
that makes some people really happy and some people really sad.
I get a nasty gram from GoDaddy for doing stuff like that. So,
Okay, I guess we're done.
All right. Thank you, Vance, for that. Appreciate it. Everybody have a great Saturday.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.